Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again to CODA Sessions. Our discussion today is twofold. First, I'll pose a few questions to Nidrat Sastrinka, exploring his thoughts on several musical topics, and then we'll turn to you, the audience, giving you the opportunity to pose questions to our guest composer. First of all, many thanks for being present with us today, and thank you for bringing with you the Fama Quartet, truly inspirational group of musicians. This is the first time your string quartet, Engrams, has been performed in the U.S., but you've previously worked with the Fama Quartet. Typically, how long do you spend with the group perfecting the sound and acoustic space that you want, and how does the process of working with the musicians alter your understanding of your own music?
That's a good question. Well, I know these musicians for a couple of years because they also play with Prague Modern, which is the foremost Czech contemporary music ensemble, and they play in Prague Philharmonia, so we meet all the time somehow. And they did other pieces of mine, but they never played those pieces before. They were played by other musicians, so they made this program especially for you, actually. only David played the solo violin piece sorry, many times before. Well, kind of 10 times already, I guess, something like that. So, you know, this kind of music, you never can really predict what comes out in the evening, especially, for example, with the last piece with the string quartet, because it's very large, concentrated piece, and it depends so much on the space, on the opportunity, on the concentration, on the public, and sometimes some parts really get really magic, and sometimes they just don't.
Right.
And the musicians cannot really do something with that. You know, something very.
Things that can't be replicated.
Yeah, exactly. And
like this is perfect storm tonight.
Yeah, exactly. It was wonderful. So, actually, I think they played the best when the storm was out. This may be something like that because you just feel something and then the piece just goes the best. You know, that's it. So, for me, the best experience is to listen to the same piece by different musicians.
I see.
So, for example, this trio will be played this season by two other ensembles, so I'm quite looking forward how this will go, because one is German and another one is French, so already the technique of playing and tradition is different, so I guess this will be kind of different piece, actually. But yeah, this is where you actually learn about it, because composer writes the score, and then he has to, or she has to accept what comes from it. And you can never, well, you can somehow let the musicians play as you want, but you have to give them their freedom. And that's why how they, and the end of my work is the score. And then I'm just giving them some advices that it was meant like that, but it's their choice to do it.
Tonight featured the piece Tree of Heaven for string trio. The string trio is a largely unexplored genre, yet it has found exponents in the likes of Webern, Schoenberg, and Tsanakis. You've mentioned in discussion of this piece a triangular psychology of interaction between the three instruments and their individual voices within the composition. Can you elaborate on how this individuality between parts operates within the piece?
I mean, there is a good comparison between the trio and the string quartet. And for me, the real difference is between those three and four musicians, because the four musicians we already consider to be kind of ensemble. And the three, I think there is still this being considered as soloists. I think like three is not enough to feel like an ensemble. You still see and hear the individualities of each of them.
Well,
and if you have like four or five musicians, it merges together in a certain way. So that's why the string trio is very much a solistic fine piece, and the quartet is
already becoming.
Yeah, it's about playing together, really. Mm-hmm. But the trio is about playing small, short solos all the time, actually.
I see.
And I think there is something that we cannot change in that perception, that there are some psychological researches that say that we cannot really listen to four voices and more. We have to choose, our brain chooses how many we actually perceive, and the other one we just forget. They are still there, but we just cannot feel them all together. So this is why there is, for me, kind of froncho between the trio and the quartet, which says the first one is solos and the second one is, let's say, orchestra already.
That's really lovely, thank you. That long town of white to cross for solo violin is set to the Emily Dickinson poem It Can't Be Summer That Got Through. Mm. What elements of this short poem do you feel you characterize it in the piece? And what does character within music mean for you?
I like the poetry of Emily Dickinson, mm-hmm. because I think that it gives. We don't have some poetry like that in Czech or other European languages. I think she's absolutely unique for the 19th century in giving very some kind of very special imagery. Or how do you call it?
That's right, yeah. Imagery.
Yeah. And
what is that? A programmatic music.
Well, I don't really write programmatic music, so it's kind of impression from. You know, it's very important to not to stick on details, but to kind of transform what is in the poem into your music, and not to make direct links between what is said in the poem. And I chose that title because I read that there is many possibilities how to explain that town of white, what it might be, like no one knows, and it might be death or kind of emptiness or whatever. So I was reading it on the internet, very many interesting thoughts what it might be. And it was a kind of difficult period where my grandfather died, who was a very important person for me, and I was like dealing with that stuff, and that's why I took that poem, which is for me quite existential but very open, and it's says a lot about this not knowing what happens, not knowing what comes next after our life, actually. So I think this is a very important point to say that we don't know and we can't say what.
Janáček and Dvořák were big influences on your work. Do you feel your music is an intrinsic part of the Czech tradition, and are you conscious of that tradition when you're composing? And lastly, how does that tradition couple with the other influences of contemporary music of the 20th century with composers like Boulez and Stockhausen, Ligeti and Messiaen?
Oh, that's a very difficult question. I did learn probably more from those not contemporary old Czech composers than I learned from the real contemporary composers like Boulez and Messiaen or Ligeti at the very beginning. Because when I started to be interested in music, I just did not know that there would be something like contemporary music, you know, because it was not played in Czechoslovakia at that time. So I was quite surprised when I discovered it later. But till now, I really think that I learned the most from those old Czech guys, actually.
Yes.
And then I had to study all those composers you mentioned, and I met the living one of them, even. Right. And this is then very important. And I think it's even more important in well, of course, you study some structures and techniques of those people who are so important for the contemporary music, but what is really important is also meeting those people and asking about how do you work and how does your head and brain work, you know, and what is your imagination and how do you elaborate your ideas and what ideas you never use even if you would like to use them, etc., etc. And yeah, this is very and for example, Boulez is an very how do you say it? It's quite a nice person to talk to, and even if he had a very bad the composers were afraid of him because he is such a great
intimidated
exactly, and sometimes he really gets open and says interesting things, which is the I think these are the real moments where you learn something about what you do, not the scores and stuff. This is what you can read all the time, every evening in the train, in the flat, always, and everyone can do it. So there's no.
I'd like to turn open up questions to the audience for Miroslav. If anybody has any questions brimming at the surface. Yes.
I do have a question. I was very interested in the trio because you talk so much about the instruments as being individual voices,
right.
and when I was listening, I felt almost as if I was hearing elements of conversation and voice, as if there were human voices there. Obviously, one brings what one wants to your music. But did you have a sense of that at all? Were you thinking at all of human voices when you were...
That's a perfect question. Congratulations, actually. because this piece was written as a first study for my chamber opera, and I then didn't use this real music in the chamber opera, but it was kind of pre-study for opera, which was performed this year in Munich and during the Festspiele.
Wow.
So no, there's another one. It's called Make No Noise.
Mm-hmm.
And so yes, there are voices. It was.
Well,
it was. I'm really impressed,
so
actually.
I'm not hearing voices.
Because it was a study about how to deal with one voice phrasing, which is a big issue in contemporary music because you are not allowed anymore to write long vocal lines. You know, it's like. This was reserved for the 19th century, and we moved on, and it's quite difficult because voice is an organic thing in a certain way, and it needs some something fluent because it just needs time before you can really sing, and singers really sing in lines. They just don't think in those separate notes. So I was very much thinking about how to connect that really fragile style of small points and lines, actually. So thank you again for that question.
Yeah, it is.
I'm overwhelmed.
It was like little bits of conversation that you overhear.
Yeah,
you
yes.
You don't know what people are actually saying, but you hear the sound of their...
Yeah, yes. And they like... question and answer, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. Anybody else?
Yes, please. This questions like that.
That's intimidating. That would be hard to follow. Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, audience.